This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. We watch one documentary film a month for Econ Extra Credit, we call it. This month, it's called Operation Varsity Blues, about the college admissions scandal from 2019, where the feds caught parents working with a consultant to cheat their kids into prestigious colleges.
We're here today to announce charges in the largest college admissions scam ever prosecuted by the Department of Justice.
My view of the admissions process is some students getting in on pure merit, but many others getting in due to preferences that skew rich and white.
I mean, really cheat, like doctoring photos to make it look like a student plays water polo when he didn't, to get into a college that valued polo players. All in the name not necessarily of education, but also for the prestige of certain campuses. I talked to New York Times columnist Ron Lieber about this. He's author of the book The Price You Pay for College, who warns about the single-minded quest for the fanciest brand schools. But welcome back to the program, Ron.
Thank you for having me.
All right. It is super irritating to watch how some parents cheated to get their kids in. But this isn't the big way that money influences who gets into higher ed?
No, not at all. There are at least three ways, right? If you're at the tippy top of the 1%, you can, in fact, buy your way in many instances by, you know, giving $10 million for a building. If you've got kids who are athletic and you have more money than average, you can pour money over 15 years into travel teams, getting them good enough to give them an admissions edge. And then if you don't need financial aid, at most schools, including, you know, most private colleges and universities, you'll get an admissions edge somewhere in the process if you don't need financial aid. So cheating, I don't know that that's necessary.
Yeah, I mean, on your last point, is that the colleges know if you need some money from them. And there have been, over the years, some schools that have done need-blind admissions, but they're getting very few and far between. So because the college knows you need some financial aid one way or another, it might hurt your chances. So if you don't need the aid, you have a leg up.
This is true. Now, we should mention that there is a category of schools that is need blind, but then will not meet the need that you've demonstrated, right? So you get in and your forms say you need about $35,000 of help and they only give you $20,000. And then they leave it up to you to figure out whether you're going to fill that $15,000 gap with a bunch of loans or a second job or some other way. They kind of throw the decision in your lap, even though they can't help you as much as you would like.
I'm glad you did point that out. Now, you and others have pointed out that a person can get a fabulous education without going to the Mercedes-Benz or Ferrari of campuses. But is prestige worth nothing? Is it just like we should get over prestige? I mean, prestige can count.
We should not necessarily get over prestige. There's at least three reasons it might matter, and they all have to do with what other people think. So the first one is that, you know, prestige can yield a sort of gold star for parenting in the community. Maybe you're trying to impress people with an Instagram sweatshirt reveal or whatever stickers on your windshield. This is a natural human instinct for parents, but it's also one that's emotionally harmful a lot of the time, right? So try to take the magic pill that causes you to resist that one. But then there are the employers and the graduate schools that are inhabited by gatekeepers who may be snobs or elitists. Right? Let's just face it. And to them, prestige may make a difference. And it isn't always easy to know ahead of time, particularly with a teenager who doesn't know what they want to do with their life, how much that may matter. But we shouldn't pretend that it doesn't matter at all.
All right. So it's possible that the prestige of the undergraduate place that you're looking at could help you then get into the graduate school that you need or the professional school.
Yeah, I mean, these are edge cases, sort of, because like how much should we really rely on a 17-year-old's convictions? But if you've got a daughter who is dead set on being an investment banker and she's into the Penn State Honors Program for, you know, $100,000 for 4 years, and she's into, you know, Wharton, a University of Pennsylvania undergrad for $300,000, I can guarantee you that Goldman Sachs is not hiring as many 22-year-olds from Penn State as they are from Wharton. Same thing's true with your son, who wants to be an anthropology PhD student and has not wanted anything else for himself for years. The 15 or 20 best anthropology graduate school programs, they're probably going to bring more kids in from the quote-unquote most prestigious schools than they are from, you know, a random branch of a state school. It's just true. So we can only know so much about how our 17-year-olds are going to turn out or whether they're going to change their mind. But again, we can't assume that prestige means nothing. It will mean something in some places, sometimes.
There's a piece of me, as outraged as I was reviewing the Varsity Blues case, that still said, well, it's a lesson in how the world works. I mean, the idea that we're living in some kind of meritocracy in general is an illusion.
I think that was maybe useful for some people to understand. I think particularly at the small school level, the Division III level, at the most selective schools in the country, they are stuffing each class with 20, 25%, 30% athletes. And a big part of what happened in the Varsity Blues scandal is that people used and abused the system for athletes to get a big leg up, no matter their grades or scores, by paying bribes and committing fraud to insert themselves into that system. So, you know, in that sense, I think it was helpful, right? There are all sorts of rules that are different for large groups of 18-year-olds that are not like your 18-year-old. And I think it's important to have kind of a healthy skepticism, perhaps even cynicism, and certainly knowledge about how the process works, because the system itself works against transparency, and it does so on purpose.
All right. And a deep dive into how the system works can be found in Ron's book, The Price You Pay for College. Ron Lieber also writes the New York Times Your Money column. Ron, thank you.
My pleasure.